Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure, as always. I'm excited about having Gerald Celente back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Gerald is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and you've been hearing him on the show for, I don't know, years and years. I can figure it out, folks. Don't worry. I'll be able to tell you in a minute how long. It's been close to 10 years, probably 8 or 9 years at least. He is the author Trends 2000. He is the resident trends tracker of the Brain Trust. He says he's not a futurist. He's a trends tracker. We'll get him to tell us again what that means in a minute. He's also the author of a very neat book, folks, A True Story About Love, Wisdom, and the Soul of America. The title is What Zizi Gave Honey Boy, which is a story about him, and I think it's his aunt or his grandmother. I've forgotten. Gerald Celente, welcome back to the show. Remind me who Zizi was.
Zizi was my aunt.
Your aunt? I thought it was your aunt.
Yeah.
And I still like that book.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep. It's when America was a different place.
It was a different place. Are we showing our age, Gerald, to long for the more innocent times?
I don't think so. You know, when you're the small business advocate, and in those days after World War II, you know, it was a time when people's small businesses could start up with not a lot of capital and a lot of goodwill, and it's a very different time today. It's very hard for an entrepreneur to make it because of the cost of entry is so much higher than it used to be, and it, you know, in those days there was the family farm, and there was the butcher and the baker, and it was a different time, and it was a simpler time,
Gerald.
A much simpler time, and it was a time of family. You know, I mean, who did you know that got up at 5 o'clock and was out of the house by 5:30 to make a 2-hour commute in bumper to bumper traffic? I mean, and you're old enough to remember when every place was closed on Sunday.
Oh yeah. How did we lose that?
I'll tell you,
is it a level of innocence that we lost?
No, my belief is that everything became about money. Money, 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 money. And I call it bottom line fascism. You know, in the old days, another thing that you used to have was something called quality. When something was built, it was built with style and structure and craftsmanship.
Most things were over-designed.
Well, now it's put it up big and cheap. Big box stores, ugly stuff. You know, so anyway, that's my feeling. And it's nothing to do with nostalgia. You know, the proof is there. You know, you look at the standard of living. The gap between the rich and the poor was the United States was the most egalitarian country in the world. Now the gap is the widest among the industrialized nations. Go back to the late 1960s when I got into the workforce. The gap between the CEO and the average worker was 20-1. Today, depending on whose data you look at, it ranges anywhere between 450-550-1.
Life is a gamble, all along. Winners or losers. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Gerald Celente. We're talking about times past, but let's talk about the future, Gerald, and where we are, maybe the present and the future. And, you know, Gerald, sometimes your trend tracking leads people to believe that you're a little bit negative. And I know you're just calling it like it is. I know you're just saying it like you see it. But what do you see positive about what we have right now? What about the world do you see that you're hopeful about?
What I'm hopeful about is that people will recognize that something needs to change. And when you look back, for example, with the Renaissance, the highest development in modern times, it was a recognition of the death of the Dark Ages and the Black mm-hmm. Plague was over.
Right.
So people realized that, hey, we're doing something wrong. Let's look back to see what was done right. And in Italy during the 15th century, they used to say, Ale Romana e alla Antica, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients, to describe the quality of their work. So they went back to the past to find the greatness. Today there's the culture where, remember the books, The End of War? I mean, all this stupid, we're the best, oh, technology, oh, us, oh, look at me. Rather than going back to say what was great, what worked. And I believe that for this country to go ahead, we have to look back to when this country was a different place, when it was the greatest country in the world, when there was more equality, when we were building, when the entrepreneur could go out and start their own life and didn't have to be a corporate slave.
One of the things I've got an idea. I don't know how to fix the politics, because I don't know what it'll take to fix that. But I do have an idea about the marketplace that I'd like to ask you about. I think that Wall Street is hurting Main Street. Wall Street is hurting the marketplace by this and in this way. I think it's hurting it because of the quarterly report, the quarterly reporting, the conference call every quarter. I would like to see more, and some CEOs are doing this. I'd like to see more CEOs tell the analysts to take a hike and to say, you know what, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call you when I have something for you. And to stop and for the marketplace to stop being, sort of held hostage by the analysts. You know, I'll give you an example. One of my favorite examples. About a year ago, Google recorded a record profit level for any company in a quarter. It blew everybody that had ever anything had ever happened out of the door. But it was one penny below what the analysts said it was going to be, one penny per share. And guess what? The stock went down. Now, how stupid is that?
Well, you know,
pardon me. One quick thing. When CEOs start managing their companies more for the customers and for the invisible hand possibility that they could have in the world, rather than to be a slave, so to speak, to the analyst. I think when that happens, I think the marketplace will get better. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you, but I also think that, you know, the control is so gigantic now. I mean, you know, what do we have a choice between? Lowe's and Home Depot, Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, you know, Burger King, McDonald's, Pepsi, Coke. I mean, I'm a small business advocate of sorts myself, not like you, because, you know, my work is different, but mm-hmm. I say this whole thing is too big to run from I'm starting to call this country the USSR. I mean, it's ridiculous. People have no incentive to work anymore. Why should they? You go into a company anymore, you know, major corporation, they'll sell out, they'll sell you out. As I mentioned before we got cut off, there used to be a thing when I went to college, esprit de corps, the spirit of the corporation, the spirit of the corps. And you don't have that anymore.
You've lurched uncontrollably. Well, actually, in your case, in a very controlled way, Gerald, you've lurched toward what I've been saying now since the 20th century. And that's that the 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. What you're talking about and what I think people are longing for, they're finding in small businesses these days.
Exactly. And the whole system needs to be broken down. We have this big brother government. Listen, I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't respect the office of anything. I don't respect the office of the officer, the office of the preacher, the office of the president or the congressman or the mayor. I respect the person. And this thing that we have to respect the office. I'm not a child. And there's not, I don't believe in one size fits all. And I think this country needs to be broken down again where people, we all have more say in what we want to do. And these major corporations, to me, have killed the country. It's all about the bottom line, Jim. It's not about building the corporation.
But I'm going to go back to what I said a minute ago and say that I think it can be fixed if we get away from the analysts. I do believe that the analysts and fealty to the analysts is what's happened. And everything today is about the stock price.
Now,
I don't think you can run a marketplace when everything is about the stock price.
But the other thing, Jim, is you're the small business advocate. If I want to come down to Alabama and build something, if I'm a big corporation, they'll give me tax breaks. They'll give me grants.
They do. But I don't get any of those, do you?
Exactly, and I don't either.
Stand by. Quick break,
guy.
10 till. I'm still looking for that positive thing that Gerald is hopeful about our world. And I'll keep looking for that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Gerald Celente as our guest. Stay with us.
High on a mountain of love. Night after night.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Fantabulous night to make romance.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. It's Small Business African, and we're visiting with our good friend, Mr. Gerald Celente, the Trends Tracker. He's the author of Trends 2000. He's also the guy who looks at a lot of different things about our world, where we've been, where we're going, and he points those out, and he reports them in his Trends Journal, which I'm the happy recipient of. I think I get it four times a year, don't I, Gerald?
That's right.
And I'm looking forward to the summer edition. I know it's either just coming out or about to be coming out. Give us your website, please.
Trendalert.com. Trendalert.com. You could get
right
there. That's the quickest way.
Check it out when you get a chance, folks. And as I say, if don't go there though, unless you want to know exactly how Gerald feels. Gerald, do you know what the largest economy on planet Earth is?
Yeah, I could say the U.S.
Actually, I'm gonna correct you and refine your answer. Small Business USA is the largest economy on planet Earth. See, I break. You called me the Small Business Advocate a while ago. I take that seriously and literally. Small Business USA is the largest economy on the planet. The second largest economy is everything else in the United States. The third largest economy is Japan. So small business owners have create more economy than any other sector in the world. They employ over half of the U.S. economy. They create over half of the innovations, and sign the front of 70 million paychecks every week. Now that's a level of power, I believe, Gerald, that if we could aggregate these folks, if we could get them to sort of pull in a direction that we tend to work in, but if we could do that in other parts of our lives, I believe we could make this country change.
I agree with you. You know, one of the things to look at as we do as trend forecasters, you know, you're hearing all these things about China, you know, the contaminated products, mm-hmm. the faulty products, toothpaste, tires, whatever they may be. You're going to start seeing a big anti-China backlash and also a big Buy American movement start to happen. For the small businesses, particularly those in the food business, there's going to be a lot of opportunity. Because, you know, these big brands, they shop the world for the cheapest prices. And we know that the FDA doesn't test anything, actually. I mean, less than 1% of the imported food that comes in is inspected. So that's really not testing it at all. And so what we're saying is it's going to be a good time for small businesses, micro farms, and locally raised and sold products. A big movement in that direction.
And in a lot of ways, that's already happened. I mean, there's more and more Whole Foods organizations. I've forgotten their number of other grocery stores that offer, you know, organic products and that sort of thing. Those things are popping up all over the place. People, small farmers who have what we used to call truck patches are booming around the country.
And it's going to continue to grow. Again, though, now here's where the rub is. We have to understand that 70% of all the farm aid, for example, goes to only 10% of the farmers. So it has to be the little guy, the little mom and pops, and the his and hers, and the his and his, and the hers and hers operations. If they're going to, if we're going to give money away, let's help the small people rather than giving it to the ones that are the big lobbyists. So anyway, there's going to be a great opportunity.
Let me ask you a question. Where do you think we're going to go with regard to fuel in the future? What do you think about biofuels? What do you think is going to be our alternative fuel?
Biofuels are not the answer. The ethanol, it's factually, you're not getting the production out, the output that you need.
Right.
We think the big ones are going to be in such things as what they call hydrino power, zero-point energy, cold fusion, charge clusters, permanent magnets.
When are those
things
going to happen?
There's a website. It's called Infinite Energy. Go to their website. That's where the big breakthroughs are coming.
InfiniteEnergy.com?
Infinite-Energy.com.
Okay. And that's where we'll find what you... And I agree with you about ethanol. Ethanol is not a... It's not a... it burns as much carbon in the production of it that into petroleum than into fuel as you know, if we just burn, you know, regular gasoline.
And not only that, the corn is, for example, much more inefficient than say sugarcane. And so this has become another pork barrel project,
right,
for the politicians and their friends.
Give us your website again.
TrendAlert.com.
Check it out when you get a chance, folks, and subscribe to his quarterly publication. Thanks, Gerald, for
Thank
being
you.
Here. Good
Bye-bye.
Job, Dave. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.